Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
I liked it.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm good. Just chilling, you know?
Chilling.
Chilling like a villain.
Is that Snow Cone Stand still there? The Chillin' Chimp?
The who?
The Chillin' Chimp.
I don't
there
think so.
There used to be a Snow Cone Stand.
Oh, yeah. No, chimp. That's not... No, it's
there?
it's called something else. I totally forgot about that place. There is a Snow Cone Stand, but it's not called that.
Oh. Well, of course there is one, but...
Yeah. We have three of them in the area.
Nice.
The best one, just a nice little plug, is Snow Exciting.
Yeah.
Here in Saginaw.
Uh-huh.
But... Yeah, that one's the best one.
Saginaw, Texas, not Saginaw, yeah. Michigan, guys. If you're new to the podcast, everybody knows, I'm sure. But yeah. Well, cool. I can't wait to have my first cone when I get
know.
There.
You know what? I feel like such a loser. I was just thinking about this last night. I have not had a snow cone
Lena.
This summer season. What is wrong with me?
You should be embarrassed.
I'm very embarrassed. I don't know if it's... I mean, surely it's still open. I'm going to have to go get one before they...
I think they don't close till, like, November, right?
Oh.
I don't
Maybe
know.
October, November. I don't know, but...
Is Bahama Bucks still a thing over there?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's still around,
I think
but...
they're year-round, aren't they?
Yeah, because they have, like, brick and mortar.
Yeah, well, the last resort, you could go to Bahama Bucks.
Yeah, true. Okay, but I got to get to Snow Exciting.
Yeah,
thank
you
for reminding me.
Get a brown cow for me. Oh, brown
Ooh,
cow
no,
with
brown
cream.
Cow.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys.
Let's talk about murder.
Yeah. So today, this case was requested by one of my friends. Hey,
oh.
Sylvia.
What's up, Syl? Well, I don't know her. Hi, Syl.
I used to work with Sylvia. Yeah. So she said that she followed this case. This case is very popular. Vanessa Guillen.
Okay.
She was the soldier from Fort
yes.
Hood.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reluctant to do this case just because of the politics and all of that. But Vanessa's story should be told and just to bring awareness, if not, you know, just to give Vanessa some respect. But
yeah,
Vanessa Guillen was born September 30th of 1999 to Rogelio and Gloria Guillen. She was raised in Houston, Texas, with her five siblings. She was athletic. She lifted weights, played soccer, and ran on the track and cross-country teams in school. She was very serious about her schoolwork and about her athletic activities.
Yeah.
Vanessa's mother said that they enjoyed attending church together. They were a close family unit, and her sisters really admired her.
Aww.
She was like a little mama Aww. To her siblings. Vanessa was, she was a shorty at 5'2". She was strong-willed and took chances. I mean, she really went for what she wanted. She would tell her sister, if you really want something, just go for it. She told her to be tough and ignore the haters.
I love it.
Yeah. She was a dreamer and was focused on, she was focused and determined to live out her dream. She knew when she was just 10 years old that she wanted to be in the military.
Wow.
Yeah. Her mother recalled when Vanessa would play with her brother's toy pistol. But Gloria thought, oh, this is just a phase. She'll let it go, move on from this. However, even though Gloria really didn't want her to go, Vanessa enlisted in the Army at 18 years old.
Wow.
So just after graduating at Cesar Chavez High School in Houston in the top 15%,
wow.
She shipped off to boot camp in the Army. She excelled. She wrote letters to her family telling them about how much she loved it and bragged about being the fastest female.
Hey, being a shorty has its perks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So as much as it seemed that she was a tomboy, she was actually really a girly girl. And y'all, Vanessa looked flawless in that uniform.
Yeah.
I'm sure y'all have seen pictures.
Mm-hmm.
She worked as a firearms repairer, and she had been stationed in South Carolina at one point and then Virginia. But in 2020, she ended up at Fort Hood military base in Texas. This was about 3 hours from her family home. And Fort Hood actually just recently changed the name to Fort Cavazos. Did you know that?
I didn't, but just the stuff that's gone on at Fort Hood.
Yeah.
They're probably trying to start over.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
the stench off of their name.
Yeah, a lot has happened there. I mean, yes. Mass shootings.
Oh my gosh.
A prostitution much. Ring.
Yes, and so many sexual assaults.
Yes.
MIA and people. Yeah,
at least 39 people have gone missing.
That is so, we should do a whole series on Fort Hood.
Yeah. We should. Mm. Anyway, so yeah, washing the name Fort Hood away, they've changed it now to Fort Cavazos. And really, that's in honor of General Richard E. Cavazos. He was a native Texan and the first Hispanic 4-star general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's respectable. Every weekend, she would travel home to spend time with her family. But just a few months after she got settled into Fort Hood, her mother recognized that Vanessa was going through something. Something was just off. She wasn't sleeping well. She was losing weight. She started to tell her family that the Army was BS and wasn't what she thought it would be. She finally confessed that she was having a hard time, and her mom asked what she was hiding. It later came out that there was some issues with sexual harassment since December when she got there by a sergeant. Now, this wasn't just her. Other soldiers had been assaulted and harassed, guys and girls.
Mm.
So on April 22nd, Vanessa had the day off. She received a message telling her that she needed to come in to work. At this time, she was engaged to a man named Juan Cruz. Juan became unsettled when he could not get a hold of Vanessa on April 22nd. She was not answering his text, and they talked all the time, back and forth all day. Well, Juan told Vanessa's family that he was worried. Vanessa and her family would mostly text instead of calling. You know, most people do that these days. But if anyone made an actual phone call, the agreement was that you answered. If it was important enough to pick up the phone and call, answer it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Myra, Vanessa's sister, called her several times and got no response, she knew something was wrong. She could feel it in her gut.
That's a good family rule, I think.
Oh,
text, fine. If you don't get back to me, whatever. But if I call you, if I call you twice and you don't answer, I'm calling the police.
Yeah, exactly. So the family called the base and asked to get Vanessa on the phone. They're like, it's Vanessa there. Yeah. And so Myra talked to the staff sergeant and he told her that no one had seen Vanessa since lunchtime. He doesn't know where she is. Hmm. Well, the family kept checking her social media just for some glimpse of hope, for any clue that she was okay. After a full day of not being able to contact her sister, Myra even texted Vanessa's phone saying, I'm going to find you, I promise.
Oh my gosh.
Like she knew. That's... Yeah. Ugh, so Myra and Juan drove the 3 hours from Houston to Fort Hood to find her. In the meantime, two other fellow soldiers of Vanessa's, Tay Hightower and CJ Landy, they had plans to go hiking with Vanessa when she got off work that day. But when some time had gone by and they had no communication with her, he and Tay and CJ went to the arms room to find her, and they did not find, they didn't see her anywhere. Myra had checked into a motel at about 3 a.m. and waited till the moment that she knew that she would be able to get in contact with Vanessa's staff sergeant. Through those wee hours of the morning, she could hear helicopters flying around, probably doing training, but she was just hoping that it was them searching for her sister. She went straight to the base very early the next morning or that morning, and she says, the staff sergeant says, what's going on? And Myra says, well, you tell me what's going on. It's been almost 24 hours since anyone has seen my sister. But no one would give answers. She asked if there were cameras to look at. Nope, no cameras.
What? Come on.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting to not have cameras on base. I mean, I didn't look it up as to why they wouldn't, but is it normal for them to have cameras?
Well,
or is it like a security breach?
That's a good point. I don't know. I feel like in some areas, like at least in like the parking lot or hallways where nothing confidential might.
But especially when you already have a history of things like this going on.
Oh, I know.
Why would you not have cameras?
Exactly.
So Gloria, Vanessa's mother, she could not wait any longer. She said if they weren't going to look for her daughter, she would go look herself. But they wouldn't let Gloria on base because of her immigration status. She had come to Houston from Zacatecas, Mexico, which is a beautiful place, by the way. I actually just met someone from Zacatecas, Mexico. And she was telling me all about it, showing me pictures. And
so you know you're saying like, it right. I was like, whoa, that's a weird name.
It is. I like the name. It just sounds really fancy. But I've never heard of it until I met her, this girl I was talking to. But apparently it is a touristy place. You can go there. Oh. But it's like built on this old mining town, and the buildings are like just old and ornate.
Oh,
and
cool.
It's just so pretty. Anyway, I digress. So Myra, she eventually asked a journalist to get involved to see if she would be better at getting answers for her. Mm-hmm. And the story just blew up from there.
That's it. Go get the media involved. Nobody's going to help you. That's it.
Yeah.
Because the journalists, those investigative reporters, they will get dirty.
Yeah, they will. And the military does not want that going on. So Myra went to the station to file a report, you know, all of the paperwork and next steps. While there, Myra felt another gut punch.
Oof.
She saw a man who just made her feel sick inside as soon as she saw him. She asked someone who that man was, and she said when he told me, oh, that's Robinson. He's also in the armor department, and he was the last, he was one of the last people who had seen Vanessa. That's when she said she instantly felt her heart drop. She just felt the energy towards him was off, and she said, I felt in my heart that either he knew something or he had something to do with the disappearance of my sister. She saw him again at the military police office another time, and he was being very abnormal, very impatient. And she says, eventually, when he does look at me, because I'm crying, trying to keep my composure, he just laughs and walks out.
Ew.
Yeah. She knew in her heart
Monster.
That he had something to do with it. But how could she prove? How could she prove it without, you know, it's just a feeling. Like,
right.
Where does she get this evidence? So this man was Aaron Robinson, a 20-year-old who worked with Vanessa in the small arms artillery. He was a specialist. At this time, Vanessa was still a private, but due to the length of time that she served, they were just giving her title of specialist when all this happened. Mm-hmm. So Robinson was a superior of hers. So Tay and CJ were trying to find out everything that they could. I mean, they were some of her best friends there at the base. They went to her barracks room, and her roommate answered the door and said she didn't know where Vanessa was. She hadn't seen her. They knew Robinson was the last one to see Vanessa, so they called him and asked what he knew. All he said was, I sent her to the motor pool. They asked him if she said anything as she was leaving, and he says, no, and hung up the phone.
Yikes.
Sketchy. Mm-hmm. So they gave his number to CID and informed them of their suspicions, and they said that they would look into it. CID, which is the Department of the Army Criminal Investigation Division, at the time they were short-staffed and they had new investigators. And on top of that, they were inundated with cases, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're getting right on this request, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you could assume. Also, I think they were being very political with this case and were trying to keep everything hush-hush. Vanessa's family and friends were not going to be quiet. Right. They were loud.
Yeah.
They rallied and pushed to find her. And when they felt that the investigation was going nowhere, they went and stood in front of Fort Hood and protested, like with picket signs, like, help us find Vanessa. Vanessa's sister, Lupe, she was 16 years old at the time, and she had a loud voice. She was seen several times on camera at protest, demanding help, kind of like the family spokesperson.
Nice.
So this is what it's all about, right? I mean, you have a loved one that's missing. You can't just sit idly by and hope for the best.
There's no way.
No. I mean, God forbid anything happen to my family or friends. Mm-hmm. I pray protection over y'all every day. But you best believe I will do what I can to find you and bring justice.
Exactly. And people are like, well, we'll get back to you. We don't know. We don't know where she is.
We're working on it.
That's not good enough. That's just not good enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, they had the resources to do that. Like, some families don't have the resources to, you know, drive 3 hours away for months on end to find their loved ones. So, retracing Vanessa's steps on April 22nd of 2020, the last known sightings of her was in the parking lot of her squadron's headquarters at Fort Hood. And then what we know now was that Vanessa told her friends Tay and CJ that she was only going to work half a day. She had to go to work to check a few things, and then they planned on going hiking. So at 10:03, Vanessa left her workstation, and she went to the arms room to meet with Robinson to check on a serial number on a weapon. Another soldier that was there expected Vanessa to come back to her workstation, but she never came back.
Okay, that's alarming. Important. Yeah. I mean, like, that's something you piece together right away. Oh, yeah, I saw sure. her. She left, and then she never came back.
Right. I mean, did this happen all the time? Like, did she just go there, meet with Robinson, and then leave for the day? But she was expecting her to come back.
Yeah. Oh, oof. I hate this.
Vanessa was nowhere to be seen, but her belongings, her bank card, her license, her keys were still in the arms room.
Oh.
So where did Vanessa go? And the arms room was where she went to correspond with Robinson.
Yep.
But her cell phone was not there. Her other belongings, so where's Vanessa and her cell phone?
Right.
When Robinson was questioned, he said Vanessa completed her task and then she left. He was clocked out at 11:13 from, you know, he left his shift at 11:13. Investigators searched her phone records and found that the last text that Vanessa had sent was to Aaron Robinson. It was just that serial number, a picture of the serial number that she needed. So Robinson later said he read her the serial numbers and gave her paperwork. He said he believed she then left to go to the motor pool, same story that he gave Tay and CJ. He said when he got off work, he went straight to his house where he stayed the night with his girlfriend. His girlfriend corroborated his alibi. Two witnesses later came forward and said that on the same day, they saw Specialist Robinson coming out of the arms room, pulling a large black tough box with wheels. And that it appeared very heavy in weight. They saw him put it in his car and drive away.
Is he supposed to be taking that out?
I don't know. I know in the military, like, they do send soldiers to transport things, but I don't know if it would be transported in a personal vehicle.
Right.
But yeah. Myra researched and found a military lawyer that would help with the legal stuff and, you know, help with the politics of the military. She wanted to put pressure on the case, but she wanted to do it legally. She reached out to Natalie Kowam, and she was willing and happy to help. Natalie got the Texas EcuSearch involved. They did many searches on land and water. The military did searches too, but EcuSearch was created by a man named Tim Miller, and Tim also had a daughter who went missing, and it drove him to create this organization whose purpose, like, this is what they do to find missing people. So yeah, it's a volunteer group, and they don't charge for their services. How great is that?
That's amazing.
Yeah. So when Myra was laying awake one night thinking about her sister and the investigation, she made a post on social media. I mean, she was reluctant, like, if I post this, am I gonna get in trouble? Like, what's gonna happen to me? What kind of retaliation is gonna happen to me if I post this? Right. But she did. The post said, "How can someone go missing on a base and a sergeant sexually harassing a soldier? Justice needs to be served." Ooh. Later, she made another post saying, "Why are these soldiers not speaking up? Why sexually harass a soldier?" The Army tried to deny any allegations of sexual harassment. But later, a report came out stating that Vanessa's superiors tried to solicit her for a threesome.
Ew.
Yeah. At another time, that same supervisor, during a field training, came up to her as she was cleaning herself. Like, the girls were told, go, you know, clean, get yourself washed up or whatever. So they have wipes or whatever they do to clean themselves in the woods, in the field. So she was cleaning herself, and this supervisor comes up, walks up to her, and she's like, what the heck? Uh-huh. She told others that she felt like she would be retaliated against if she exposed them. The army refused to release the name or names of this supervisor. So at the time, Vanessa didn't, she never said anything. So yeah. Nothing was being investigated. So,
well, a lot of women don't in the real world.
Yeah.
Because they're worried. But I can't imagine in the military when you have a bunch of, you
alpha
know,
men,
pee-slinging guys, like just walking around, acting like they own the joint, and you have to coexist with them. You have to be as good as them, but not better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, I cannot imagine. Of course she didn't say anything. Of course.
I know. And that's what's so special about her case is that it kind of changes how women these days deal with, you know, sexual harassment in the military. Like, they're speaking up now.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a second. So that post that Myra made, it escalated and spread into a movement. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about it. It's called I Am Vanessa Guillen. Military women from all over started posting their stories of sexual harassment while on duty. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people came across the United States to rally together for Vanessa and her family.
Wow.
So about 2 months after Vanessa came up missing, the military held a press release at Fort Hood. 2 months after she's missing.
I was about to say, it's a little late, but go ahead.
Yeah. So they stated that they take every sexual assault and harassment claim very seriously and that it's not like acceptable. They stated that there have been no statements or complaints made of sexual harassment of Vanessa. If there was anything filed, they would have investigated. Well, now we're saying that she's murdered or she's missing, so now we can investigate this.
Exactly.
On the Netflix series titled I Am Vanessa Guillen, CJ said that there were more than one soldiers that harassed Vanessa, and two of them were in charge of her. He said Vanessa didn't feel comfortable coming forward, and she didn't think any action would take place, so she just didn't. One day, CID called Myra and told her that they found remains in a field, but they didn't think it was Vanessa. The remains were just too old.
Then why are you calling her? ma'am, we found remains. But
yeah,
I don't
just
think
in case you hear anything on the news.
Oh, come on.
So, yeah. Come to find out, the remains were that of Gregory Morales. Gregory was also a soldier at Fort Hood, and he had been missing for a year, since August of 2019. He was listed as going AWOL. No investigation. No one was looking for him. He just up and quit the military, right? His mother said he was going to be getting out of the military in just a couple of weeks. He was married and had a life. Why would he go AWOL?
Right.
Just finish your couple weeks. Uh-huh. You're almost there, guy. So, yeah, I believe this case is still unsolved. I'm going to have to research that. So 10 weeks after she was reported missing, 10 weeks, on June 30th, Vanessa's family saw on the news that another body had been found that morning. The county sheriff alerted the FBI and Army CID. Tim Miller, the founder of Texas EcuSearch, called Myra and explained what was found, that it was clear that Vanessa had been murdered.
Oh my gosh.
Shortly after finding her body, the Army held a meeting with Vanessa's family and told them what they knew from their investigation. Robinson had hit Vanessa in the head with a hammer several times. When she was dead, he put her in a black tough box. And this is just so interesting to me. Like, he hit her on the head several times with the hammer. Like, there's going to be blood somewhere.
I was about to say, did they not find anything in that arms room that she was in?
Exactly. Nothing was reported about. If they investigated this arms room, I mean, blood splatter, like.
Right.
She's hit in the head when you
It would have been bring that flung up on back. The ceiling.
Yeah.
All over armory. I mean.
Right. Wow. So it just is baffling. The CID got a report of Robinson's cell phone pings, and there was a ping by the Leon River in Belton, Texas. Belton is about a 25 to 30 minute drive from Fort Hood. But wait, he said he went straight home and stayed there for the rest of the night.
And his girlfriend said that, right?
Yeah. So why is the phone pinging all the way in Belton? So Texas EcuSearch goes out to the location of the ping, and that's where they found a pile of burned remnants. Some of what they could tell was part of a black tough box. They also found freshly dug piles of dirt, and this is where he burned Vanessa's body, dismembered, and buried her with concrete. And come to find out, this concrete he bought off of Facebook Marketplace.
What?
Yeah. Like, kills her at the arms, in the arms room, takes her in this box, gets on Facebook Marketplace, buys this concrete.
This is very, like, a to-do list of things.
Yeah.
This isn't something that just happened.
No. It, like, this was, this took a long time to carry out.
Yeah.
So the day they found her was actually the second time they searched out there. The first time was not fruitful, but a construction worker had reported a foul smell in a certain area. So they went back. In this particular area, they looked up and saw that some leaves in the tree looked like they had been burned. So that was a big clue and helpful for them. So they started digging, and that's where they found her. What was the motive? So the prosecution says because he felt threatened that Vanessa was going to tell on him for fraternization. Because he was in a relationship with a married woman. Not even for the sexual assault or sexual harassment allegations. Like, he was saying, oh, she saw a picture of my girlfriend. She knew that she was married to another guy, so she's going to tell on me for fraternization. No, it's much more than that.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she cares about that, to be honest. I think she cares about your behavior, like, at work.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the ones that had a reputation of sexual harassment, and he felt that she would expose him, and he was not going to let that happen. So they also found that Robinson had help disposing of her body.
Go on.
Looking through his phone records, they saw that he called his girlfriend several times in the middle of the night. But wait.
Wait a minute.
If he was with her all night, why would he call her so many times?
And why would she told investigators.
Yeah. Well, she told investigators, well, she couldn't find her phone, so he called it several times as they were looking for it. I mean, it's a likely story.
Okay.
And they believed her.
Yeah.
So Cecily Aguilar, Robinson's girlfriend, 22 at the time, was actually estranged from her husband. Her husband, Keon, was another soldier in the military. Cecily had left her husband for Robinson. And Keon, he actually didn't file for divorce until 2022, 2 years later, and it was finalized in the beginning of 2023. Anyway, that's just a side note. In her confession, she admitted helping him take her body, take Vanessa's body to a bridge at the Leon River and burying her in three different places.
Oh,
gruesome. When Vanessa was found, Robinson was already being held for breaking COVID protocol. You know, it's 2020.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he did, but this small charge of breaking COVID protocol, they're holding him in, I don't know, was he being held in a room? I don't know.
I'm so glad that they're concerned with that and not concerned with a missing person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, get on with it.
Yeah. So the soldier that was looking over Robinson was not informed that Robinson was also suspected of killing Vanessa. So I think it was just this relaxed thing of, you know, Robinson, he's just sitting there and he still had his phone. Well, he picked up, he's reading Facebook, reading whatever post on his phone, and he sees news that Vanessa's body had been found. And he called Cecily and he says, "Baby, they found pieces of her."
Ew.
And so somehow he escaped the supervision that he was under. He just walks out. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Later, he was seen walking about 6 miles from Fort Hood. Police went to approach Robinson, and he pulled out a gun and shot himself.
What?
Yeah. Coward? Can we say coward? He didn't want to face the music.
No.
Eventually, Cecily wanted to retract her confession. Myra, Lupe, and Juan, they went to the courthouse to fight to keep them from throwing out her confession. Mm-hmm. While Myra and Juan went inside to deal with the legal proceedings, Lupe stayed outside. You know, her parents, she, like I said, she was 16 at mm-hmm. the time. Her parents didn't want her going in and having to hear all this or deal with, you know, what Cecily might say or all that. So Lupe stayed outside and protested with a group of people that came from all over Texas to support them. During the hearing, Cecily said that Robinson put a gun to her head and made her help dispose of Vanessa's body.
I'm so sure.
Yeah. So the judge, he saw right through her shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And he denied her motion to retract the confession.
Good.
She continued to plead not guilty as her trial date was delayed and delayed several times. Finally, on August 14th, 2023, less than a month ago, Cecily Brown Aguilar pled guilty to one count of accessory to murder after the fact and 3 counts of false statement or representation. At 25 years old, she was sentenced to 30 years in prison, which was the maximum for all that.
Why didn't they give her, like, desecration of a body? Is that not a thing in Texas? I feel like slap them with everything.
Yeah. Well, and some people were like, I was reading comments on Facebook, like when they posted how, you know, her sentence, and people were like, she didn't kill her. Why would she get 30 years is too long. She didn't actually do the act. Yeah. No, she didn't, but she desecrated body.
Yeah. And she delayed justice because if he wouldn't have had help, he would have had to do all that stuff on his own. He wouldn't have had an alibi and they probably would have found her a lot sooner.
For sure.
And he would have been found out a lot sooner. So she delayed justice by helping him.
Exactly. Like, she's sitting here watching the family plead.
Gross.
You know, scream out from their belly looking for their family member. And she just sat there and watched. It's gross.
Monster. She's just as wretched as he is.
So, yeah, she got 30 years in prison. So she was 25. She's going to be 55
mm-hmm.
When she gets out. But she did ask the family for forgiveness. Myra says that she'll keep the request in mind, but she didn't take it seriously.
I always think, like, if I ever had to give a victim impact statement, I would be like, I don't forgive you. And if I ever do forgive you, that's none of your business. Like, I don't owe you that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't get to know that.
Yeah.
I don't forgive you in this moment. No.
Yeah. And I mean, I hope everybody could find it in their heart to forgive, like, even the worst thing. But it's easier to say, oh, you'll be better off if you forgive them. Like, you have to process it. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. But Gloria, Vanessa's mother, did get to tell her, I really do hope that you repent. Like, ask for forgiveness from God. You know, change from your wicked ways.
Because otherwise you're going to hell in a handbasket, sister.
Yeah. So Natalie, the lawyer, she spoke about the hearing and she said that the last 20 months that Cecily had been in prison, she has shown that she's a bully.
Yeah.
And there were several times where she attacked officers and had to be tased.
See your true colors.
So she threatened other female inmates and told them that they would be the next Vanessa Guillen.
Ew.
Yeah.
See, this is like, just who she is.
Yeah.
Are they writing this stuff down?
Girl. So during the hearing, they learned new details that Cecily said that she skinned Vanessa's body. And that Robinson had sex with her dead body. Like, I'm sorry to bring that up. But, like, even the family were like, we don't know what to believe. Like, she's just saying things at this point.
Why? Why? I just...
Yeah.
Like, I kind of believe all that. But it's like, why would you say that stuff?
Right. Just to if dig you're going to ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And then ask... And you say you're sorry.
It's a power play. She's like, oh, I can control these people's emotions just by
that's what it
things
sounds
that I
like.
Say.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, but dear Jesus, I mean, thank you for Vanessa's family who was so bold and had the fire to push. I mean, otherwise no telling who else these people.
Right.
These evil people. No telling what else they would have done.
Right.
So Natalie, she was fighting for justice. And, you know, justice for them wasn't just putting someone behind bars, but helping other victims of sexual harassment within the military. She said that there were already policies in place for the military against sexual harassment, but they weren't following it.
No.
She tried to get a bill passed called the Vanessa Guillen Bill. This would help others going through what Vanessa went through. And however, the bill, that request, that first request did not go through to the next level for a vote. So it wasn't passed. But they did try for a second time to get the bill passed. And they kind of had to critique. And they merged with another person, a senator, who was trying to get a similar bill passed. They merged bills together, and so it was a success. This bill reforms the way that military investigates the sexual assaults claim. It's so disheartening to me, this case, because I don't want to sit here and say the military officials are all awful people. We have family that served. Our mamas grew up in, you know, as an Air Force brat. I have friends that served. My husband was in the Army. There are fantastic people that serve our country, and they serve it well. And that goes for police officers as well.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want to disrespect that or them. There are just really bad apples and really evil people in all aspects of life that make it all look bad.
Exactly.
I don't ever want to take away from the good. But this case is so important, even if it's just to encourage others to speak up when something like sexual harassment is happening, because it will, I mean, this, it proves that it will escalate if you don't deal with it.
I think if you look at the history of, well, women's rights.
Yeah.
Just think about Grammy.
Yeah.
Just the past 50, 60, 70 years, the military was a man's world.
For sure. Yeah.
For the longest time. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when women were able to join the military, they had to make room for that, right? So you have to coexist with men who are, I don't know, the behaviors, the speech, the rough around the edges environment. And I'm not faulting them for that, because we need strong-willed people to fight for our country, fight for
us. It's a tough job.
I wouldn't want to do it, which is why I'm not doing it. So,
I mean, I've thought about it, but I've never been so determined enough to just go do it. But
And that's the thing is they are determined. They're strong-willed. Yes. And so you have a bunch of people like that. And then you've got Vanessa, who's very strong-willed, but she's also a girly girl. So she's like, how do I fit in here? How can I fit in here and wear mascara and not have to beat the guys off with a stick? I'm so sorry that I'm that pretty that you can't leave
control
me alone.
Control yourself. Yeah.
Get over it. I'm wearing fatigues and I'm still a hot piece. You know what I mean? Like, she can't help that. So you've got this weird dynamic there.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no excuse for women feeling unsafe at work in any capacity, but especially women in the military who are there to serve our country, and they're sitting there like, well, I can't say anything. Like, if I say something, then I look weird, or I look like I'm... And that's the other thing, like, I think a lot of women who suffer from sexual assault or sexual harassment in the workplace, they're like, well, if I report this, then I look like I'm...
Yeah, it's a shameful...
Yeah, it is a shame. It is. It's like, I don't want to bring attention to this because I don't want people thinking that I think I'm all that in a bag of chips. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it does make you feel that way. It does make you feel that way, even though you're not reciprocating that.
Exactly.
You do feel kind of dirty. Like, you do.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Vanessa. And I'm so sorry that this had to happen for women across our nation for it to get to a level where women feel courageous coming forward now.
Yeah, now's the time. Yeah. But what I also find fascinating too is that there are several murals painted around the world of Vanessa.
Wow.
Yeah. So her life and death made such an impact in the world. But really, last thing I want to say, Rogelio and Gloria Guillen, they raised some fierce, bold, and smart children. Mm. So well done to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for telling her story. I have heard that story, but I haven't really heard it told like that. So, I think a lot of podcasts and documentaries are interested in the murder aspect, but not so interested in the politics and the, you know, the messiness that comes along with it.
And like I said, it was difficult for me to really want to do this case because I don't want our platform to be political, but these are things that we do have to talk about.
Right. Well, it's part of it. It was the driving force behind her murder. I mean, at the heart of it. So important you told it that way. Well, thanks. That was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. We will.
All right.
Bye,
y'all.
Bye. Well, thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating so that other true crime fans can find us.
If you have any case suggestions or just want to say hey, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, where we post case photos and information at Cousins on Crime Podcast.